Send a movie idea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before we started, Joel, hello again, by the way. 2 years, no conversation in the interim.
What I like, John, is that your reaction to sort of huge global crises is to ask me if I want to record another episode of this podcast. When I would say maybe 1 week into a global pandemic, you were saying, I tell you what we should probably do, what the world's crying out for is the boys to get back together. And then, Russia invades Ukraine a week later. And, you know, we don't ever message each other. So I'm looking at the last set of messages were about 2 years ago saying, let's get the band back together. I just don't know what it's going to take. Like, in 2 years' time, there'll be water around my waist and my phone will go off. You'll be like, one more time? One last time for the boys?
Hey.
Yeah.
It's all part. Right. In my defense, the idea to start recording again came before the horrific news this week. But the last time, absolutely. That was pandemic. My first thought was toilet rolls.
What worries me, John, is that the Dream Factory fans, they're going to start hoping for huge disasters because they know that's the only way they're going to get some sweet, sweet Dream Factory.
Now, on the subject of fans, I think we're back this time and I think we need to go bigger than ever. I think we need more listeners than ever. I think we need to be the biggest podcast in the world, right? So I've been doing some thinking in the last 2 years. I've been doing some thinking about what we can do to grow the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, listeners might not know, but me and Joel work in podcasting full time. Mm-hmm. So if anyone knows how to make a hit podcast,
it's embarrassing. It's an embarrassment, to be honest, because how much of your job would you say that you spend advising people on how to have a big podcast?
Definitely more than 75% of my time is spent.
Yeah, big time, big time, big time. And at the back of your mind, do you ever think, probably worth saying that John and I tried to crack this maybe for the first time 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to think. Yeah, so you've got the Dream Factory, which is like a few, I don't know how many years old now, but then we've got previous project, which is even more years. So,
8 years ago.
Have you worked that out?
It just is. It was definitely 2014, which, John, bloody was hell. 8 years Crikey. Ago.
Right. So these aren't ideas that I bring to my podcasters because these are too hot, right? These are Dream Factory
ideas. You're testing them out here.
Beef. We start a beef.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. Beefs are hot right now.
Rogan.
I'm going straight
to the top. I'm going straight to the top. Wow. You, hey, John, you might think he's the king. Those are your words.
Shit. No, Your Honor. Right. What about we pivot subject? K-pop. K-pop's hot right now.
Yeah, yeah. What do you know about K-pop?
There's a band called BTS. And I would imagine in the world of K-pop, saying I like BTS is like now saying I like the Spice Girls, right? I assume that's how old BTS are. No offense to the guys, I'm sure they're lovely.
Let's just do straight up K-pop fan fiction every week. Fully erotic, full on, gross stuff. Stuff they're not going to get elsewhere.
It'd either go very well or we would immediately get cancelled.
I feel like fan fiction is the last uncancellable domain, isn't it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Never really delved too much into it, Your Honor.
I don't know what this means, but metaverse. I've written down metaverse.
Well, I mean, we're the Dream Factory. We're kind of the original metaverse. It's all made up.
Yes. Fine. Beef is with Mr. Facebook, Zuckerberg.
Why weren't we consulted?
Okay. A similar vein, another word I don't understand, NFT.
Yep. Good, good. What is the most NFT-able moment from our long history?
I was looking through some of the old titles of episodes and genuinely they read like something out of like a nightmare that you've had whilst having a fever.
They look like, you know, you occasionally see those tweets where it's like, I put 1,000 hours of something into an AI and this is what it came out with. It's like, I put 1,000 hours of two idiots making a podcast into an AI and here's the episode titles.
Yeah, and we sell that as an NFT. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You buy it. I don't, look, you get it or you don't get it. But you also, it's like the
when it comes like to this podcast, John, I'll be honest, I don't get it. I never have.
Multiverse. That's hot right now. Everything's a multiverse.
Yeah, I struggle with the universe. Oh shit. That just means one verse.
No, it can't mean that.
Yeah, like a unicycle.
Like a song with one verse.
No, but it means the only, like, multiverse. I never even really realized that universe means one.
Yeah, I guess. But does that imply that when they came up with the title, they, whoever they are, came up with the title, universe?
You're obsessed basic... with things being content. The title.
How many clicks? What is the SEO on the word universe? No, but does that imply that they were thinking, yeah, there's more than one at the time?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
All right, what about misinformation? We just go full misinformation.
That is, now we're talking. That is my wheelhouse. I deal exclusively in misinformation. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. In an ever-changing world, John, there is one constant, and that is the nonsense rules of the Dream Factory. We can discuss as many film ideas as we like, from you, from us, from the metaverse, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where it will be produced and broadcast on Mars to the last vestiges of humanity after the inevitable climate/nuclear/miscellaneous event that wipes us all out in the next 6 months. I'm Joel, a man who puts the man in blancmange. I think I've done that one before, but it's been a very long time. And sat across from me, oh, I copied and pasted this from when we used to speak to each other in real life.
Digitally sat across.
And sat across from me is John Harris, a man who, despite becoming an actual father, is still the biggest baby in his house. Hello, John.
Oh, we got it out of the way. That's good to mention, yeah. I have a child.
You have a child.
Little exciting. Glennis.
And how much has your life changed?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it exciting?
Completely. I've got a pram, right? That if I stand and push behind it, you can actually see it in the back of the shot.
Yeah.
If I stand directly behind it and push it, I always step on the brake, right? So as a result, I sort of have to hold it to one side quite casually. And I always think that people in the street think I'm just trying to be, oh yeah, he doesn't affect my life. Yeah, yeah, we're just, you know.
Just like at a distance.
I'm living my life, yeah.
If you were constantly on the brake there, wouldn't you just be doing like a baby wheelie the whole time? People think you're like Tony Hawk dad. Matt Hoffman.
I take him to the local car parks at night and we do donuts.
You're just stood at the top of a half pipe, ready to go.
Yes, I have become a human father of a human child, and that will probably affect my knowledge of any film that's come out recently. Good. As I don't do anything anymore.
And that will be a problem, John, because I have always relied on you as being the one that knows about anything to do with films.
Let's go. Shall I go first?
Yes.
This one comes from Ula. The Facts and the Curious.
The Facts.
Yeah, The Facts and the Curious. I like it. There's a
fax machine?
Pun. No, it's spelt like facts, like factual.
Oh, okay.
I think it's got quite like a QI vibe. Mm-hmm, the Facts and the Curious.
Yeah.
Or it could be, what are they called? Like a National Treasure style thing, you know? Mystery, yes, solving
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes.
And because it's obviously punning on Fast and Furious, Vin Diesel.
Yeah, Vin Diesel's in it. Vin Diesel's like, I think he... So, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Harrison Ford is an impossibly sexy professor that everyone in his class finds impossibly sexy.
Yeah.
Let's get Vin Diesel in a bow tie. Vin Diesel is a librarian.
Or alternatively, we get Harrison Ford and Nick Cage, get them to shave their heads and become incredibly massive and ripped.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I think... Harrison Ford is maybe 73 years old, and I don't think Nicolas Cage is really, I don't know, I don't think he has the discipline of a man to get super ripped. So I could see them both shaving their heads. I don't know, I just quite like the idea that Vin Diesel is like a 100-mile-an-hour librarian.
Is he? Oh, you know, did you ever have, as
he's
a
like
kid...
he's chasing people down for late fines. like a bounty hunter.
But did you ever have a kid, as a kid, like there used to be like a library on wheels that would come to primary schools?
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what it is. He drives that 100 miles an hour. He drifts it into car parks. He just dispenses the book in 3 seconds. That's exactly what it is. Or they quite often go to like underserved, like smaller towns and villages, right, where there isn't a library.
Yeah.
They pitch up there. That's what he's doing. And he's getting it. But the thing is, because of government cutbacks, he's the only one left in Britain. And he has to get round every single village and school once a week. That's perfect. Oh,
amazing. Did you see the Instagram post that Vin Diesel sent to The Rock recently?
No. And you say you don't keep up with things, John. Right. You know what The Rock and Vin Diesel are talking about.
I'm keeping up to date with beefs, Joel. I know that's where the money is. So, famously, well, perhaps not famously to everyone, but The Rock and Vin Diesel do not get on. Mm-hmm. There was a tweet sent out during the filming of one of the Fast and Furious when they worked together, where The Rock described working with candy asses that we discovered he was referring to Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
And then since then, relatively recently, Vin Diesel sort of said that he was an asshole to The Rock on set to sort of get a better performance out of him. Like he's like a master.
Kind of like
coach.
How we are before records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Fast and Furious franchise is coming to an end. I think there's two more left. I think they're sort of being billed as like a two-parter.
I mean, they've done well. Are there 9? 10?
11? Yeah, I think it's... we're definitely in double digits by the time it finishes. I think it'll finish on 10 or 11. So yes, they've done very... Considering the first film is like genuinely just like a drag race movie.
Yeah.
Now they're like... They go into space and fight submarines and stuff. So anyway, Vin Diesel tweeted this. I'll try and do my best, Vin Diesel. There's no way I'm getting anywhere near as registered as a high-pitched voice man.
My little brother Dwayne, the time has come. The world awaits for the finale of Fast 10. As you know, my children refer to you as Uncle Dwayne in my house. There is not a holiday that goes by that they and you do not send well wishes.
So, firstly, he starts with my little brother Dwayne.
Yeah, that is
if
a
I'm
brilliant
describing
opener.
The Rock,
such good, so patronizing.
And then he goes on to point out that his family's in correspondence with The Rock, but he's clearly not. My kids talk to you.
But the time has come. Legacy awaits. I would have told you years ago that I was going to fulfill my promise to Pablo,
which is Paul Walker. So he's bringing in a dead man into this as well, which is pretty intense.
I swore that we would reach and manifest the best Fast in the finale that is number 10.
Did he say that to Paul Walker? I'm not sure. Anyway.
I say this out of love, but you must show up. Do not leave the franchise idle. You have a very important role to play. Hobbs can't be played by no other.
That's multiple negation that suggests that he can.
I hope that you rise to the occasion and fulfill your destiny.
To which The Rock, in some interview later, said, "Nah, that's not happening."
Amazing.
Yeah, just calling him out by my... I think The Rock probably closed the thing as soon as he saw the phrase, "my little brother
100%.
Dwayne."
100%. He's going to swipe right past that. He's no one's little brother. He's like the world's big brother.
He's the man we need right now.
Also, is Vin Diesel older than The Rock? Bigger than The Rock?
Well, it's hard to tell because I think they have all these contracts in the Fast and Furious movies, don't they? Where like they can't lose
someone
a
stands,
fight to each
someone
other.
Someone stands on a stepladder.
Yeah, they all stand on stepladders and stuff, so they all look. They all simultaneously look bigger than one another by like CGI magic.
Yeah, so I have no idea. The only way they can build them on a poster is by overlaying their name so that it's ineligible. They're now so desperate for top billing that you can only see the bottoms of their names above, like at the top of the poster, because they've had to move them up and up and up and up and up and up. It's so good. I imagine when the posters come out, like The Rock's agent and Vin Diesel's agent are like measuring the sizes of their heads on the poster.
Oh,
don't you think?
Definitely. It's
and like I mean... counting to the frame the amount of screen time they're getting. I imagine just like filming the edit of that film must be horrific. The contracts they must have, insane.
The fact that I believe that it is well known that neither of them can lose a fight in the films just means that nothing happens.
Yeah, so good. So the facts and the curious: Vin Diesel, The Rock, they both have rival library vans, but only one can remain due to government cutbacks, and it's whoever can do the round in the fastest time.
That's genuinely a great film. Get it made.
I'd be all over that. Here's one from Stu. Last Night in Bojo. Now, I haven't seen Last Night in Soho.
Oh, I have seen that. And there we go.
Because I've been nervous too, because it has quite mixed reviews, and I'm such a big Edgar Wright fan.
I enjoyed it, but it's one of those films where I really liked it, and I liked what he was going for, but at the same time, I also can see all the criticism.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it, but I also liked it. It's hard. There's some great stuff, though. The first, like, hour is, like, truly incredible, and you definitely should check it out.
Cool. I'll just watch the first hour.
Yeah, just as soon as you feel things going a bit funky, just switch off and say, I just had a nice time.
So Last Night in Bojo. So Last Night in Soho is a time travel vibe, right? Thriller.
Yeah. So back to the 60s.
So it's Boris flicking between present day and Eton, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's better than... Because obviously the first thing that comes to your head in Last Night in Boris is a dirty film.
I don't want to think about that.
Nah. Okay, he goes, there's definitely something that can be done with a time travel and Boris and some sort of like a Christmas Carol vibe, right? Where
yes.
we sort of go back to the
yes.
source of
yes, yes,
his sort of his what's where the word? Loose attitude towards the truth and mm-hmm, where that mm-hmm, started. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yes, so
and
he's...
then by the end he's like full liar, just telling everyone everything.
Yeah, I'm into that. So you kind of he's visited by three ghosts, past, present, future. They say, look, here's when you told a lie when you're a kid. It led to all of these things. Here's where you told a lie when you were in your journalism career in the 90s. It was bad. Here's some lies you're going to tell in the future. Guess what? Also bad. He wakes up the next day, never tells a lie again. And it's like that tweet, you know, it's like, society, if Boris Johnson didn't tell lies, and it's like a utopian flying cars kind of world. There you go.
And he opens the window morning.
Yeah.
And he goes, a truth for everyone.
I'm a dick. it's sort of a puff piece for him, though, isn't it? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Or is it?
I don't know.
Fine. Well, this is the weird thing about Christmas Carol. I was watching a Muppets Christmas Carol the other day, and I did think there was an element of it. Like, nowadays, if Scrooge happened, there'd be people on the internet going, I don't give a shit. He still closed down an orphanage.
Yeah. They'd be digging up the historical tweets of Scrooge.
Anyway. Right, what about this one?
Now,
from
if
Mike?
Scrooge, when Scrooge woke up, instead of shouting out the window, he would just tweet a notes apology for his previous 70 years of life.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What about this one from Mike? House of Pucci.
Yep.
Have you seen House of Gucci?
No, but who has?
Yeah, fine. He's a fashionable dog, Pucci.
He is a very fashionable dog. So it's the story, House of Gucci is about the Gucci family and some sort of murder, and Lady Gaga's in it, and Jared Leto's in it being mad. I've seen some bits of him really overacting. He's
doing his Luigi voice.
He's bad. He's bad in films.
I'm trying to think. I think he's complicated. I think he has done some good performances.
No, he's bad. What's he good in?
Is he not good in Requiem for a Dream?
Oh, that's about... That was made 100 years ago, John. I would say, whenever I see that Jared Leto's in a thing, I think, I don't want to watch that thing. There's a new series coming about WeWork, where he plays the guy who founded WeWork. And I really would like to watch that, because the podcast that is based on We Crashed, I enjoyed that. And, you know, I'd like to see how podcasts are put on the big silver screen. But the fact that Jared Leto is going to be in every second of that show makes me not want to watch it.
Right. I when you mentioned that, I sort of put my hands to my head, because I've got a very weirdly strong opinion about this at the minute, which is in the next like 6 months, there are so many real life stories from the last few years mm-hmm. being dramatized for seasons. Like, so there's the Amanda Seyfried is playing, oh gosh, the lady, the Blood Lies lady. I can't think what she's called.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
There's McKinnon's doing Tiger King. Yeah, and there's WeWork. I think there's two stories about the lady who basically lied about her blood sampling machine.
The Theranos business. Yes. And there's that one on Netflix that's massive right now, the Inventing Anna one, about that Anna Delvey con
woman. Well, clearly... Yeah. But they haven't existed that massively for that long. So it feels like everyone's decided this is the next hot thing. So I'll be intrigued to see whether this is all anyone watches.
Also, who the fuck knows about WeWork outside of like some startups in big cities in the world? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
If you went and asked 100 people outside now to describe what WeWork is, they would not know what it is. Does anyone care? It's like a big startup that became really big and then fell on its ass because the guy was, you know, a maniac. I just don't get it.
Agreed.
Anyway.
House of Pucci. Great film. No. Yeah. House of Pucci. It's weird how like iconic the character of Pucci has become. It's almost meta how he's become iconic, considering the whole point is they wanted to make this incredible character and then it fails miserably.
Yeah.
And then, but everyone still kind of talks about it. If anyone doesn't know, this is a Simpsons episode. I realized that about 5 minutes into this chat, we maybe should have explained just in case. Mm-hmm. Pucci is a character in The Simpsons. He's voiced by Homer. He appears in like one episode of Itchy and Scratchy, but they think he's going to be the big sort of character, and ends up not. And it ends with the famous Pucci died on his way to his home planet card at the end of the episode. But one thing, whatever happens in this House of Pucci film, one thing that we need to remember, and this is a quote from the episode, is Pucci needs to be louder, angrier, and have access to a time machine.
Okay, so he's played by Jared Leto.
Yes. Yeah, oh, for sure.
He's a big, loud, angry dog. Jared Leto, you'll hear stories about how, like, when Jared Leto was voicing the character, he insisted that the walls of the studio were covered in peanut butter or something, because dogs love peanut butter. He sent, like, chewed up bones to the rest of the cast. You know, completely lost his mind. And the reason he isn't going to become the next big thing is because he was so intolerable when making the production.
And crucially, whenever Pucci's not on screen, all of the other characters must be asking, where's Pucci?
Yeah, and I think if you did make a film with Jared Leto, you'd be constantly asking, where's Jared? But not because you wanted him around, but because you're worried that he's like doing a poo in your trailer or something. Because there's all those stories, aren't there, about how he sent like when he was the Joker, didn't he send like dead rats to people? Yeah.
Fake and filled condoms, but apparently either that didn't happen at all or the condoms weren't filled with what you think they would be filled with. It was filled with confetti. Also, Jared Leto is was one of the greatest memes of the beginning of the pandemic when he went on like a 48 hour silent retreat.
As the world locked down.
That's a film.
That's a good film.
Right. Have you got another one for us, Joel?
How about this from Tony? Bean Machine. Mr. Bean is sent to prison and he starts a football team.
When I first read it, I thought that was what you'd call a coffee machine.
The Bean Machine, yes.
That's what I'm going to start calling my coffee machine.
Mr. Bean starts a coffee shop.
No, Bean Machine is good. And Mr. Bean goes to prison. I assume it's a hilarious mishap that...
Yeah, and he can't, and because he doesn't speak, he tries to testify in court, but it's just a nightmare.
He for some reason decides to mount his own defense.
Yeah,
before
and
remembering he can't,
you know,
speak.
He slips, he pulls the wig off the judge. The whole thing is a complete shambles, and the jury they don't even need time to go and adjudicate. They're just like, this man's guilty. Look at him.
It was a petty crime he committed, but after his court appearance, he's in for life.
He goes in as a witness to another crime, and he gets sentenced to life because he's so, it's just 20 minutes of pure slapstick. He ends up becoming convicted for life, and he ends up in prison and during recreational time. And I guess maybe in like slapstick style, he stumbles his way onto a football pitch and, you know, trips over, scores an amazing diving header, and he gets drafted onto the football team. They're like, we need the bean. He might be silent, but did you see the goal he just scored? Like, maybe he accidentally scores an overhead kick from 30 yards away because he, you know, he slips on a mole. And he gets into the football team, and the football team are in the final of the big inter-prison tournament.
Amazing.
There you go.
What have you seen Mean Machine? What's the actual vibe?
I think I have. It's a prison team. They play prison rules, which means they can all break each other's legs and stuff. And I think like the final thing is like a game against the prison guards.
Of course. For their freedom.
Yeah. You'd be surprised to learn that Vinnie Jones is in it.
I mean, yes.
Speaking of being on a silent retreat when the world locked down, I famously went on holiday when the world locked down, and I was in Los Angeles, City of Angels, when they locked it down completely. And like one of the only things left that you could do, so all of the museums and the galleries and the sport venues, they were all closed. But there was still a guy running one of those Beverly Hills tours where you sit on a bus and he goes around and goes, that's where Quentin Tarantino lives. I'll be honest, it was great. It was so much fun. And
was Vinnie Jones involved?
Vinnie Jones's house. We saw Vinnie Jones's Beverly Hills house.
Do they look? The Beverly Hills house is actually genuinely very nice.
Yeah, they're massive. They're absolutely massive, and they're up on, you know, up in the hills, and it's all very exciting. Yeah, and you go down Rodeo Drive, but it's all like a ghost town because everyone's scared. Except
is it just
10
spelled
people
rodeo?
On a minibus. Pardon?
Is it just spelled rodeo, but we say rodeo?
Yeah.
What's that all about? Because rodeo is an American word.
It's fancier. Rodeo. Mm.
I'm going to live there and I'm going to call it Rodeo Drive.
Rodeo Drive, you're a big Stetson.
Yeah.
Hey, let's have another one. We're really like spending so much time on these. You can tell we haven't done this for 2 years.
At the end of last time, we just said the pun and moved on.
Yeah.
What about this one from Scroobius Pip? Venom, let there be partridge.
I like it.
Also, crucially, this is name drop, Scroobius Pip, star of Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Brilliant.
Well, so, he plays Siegfried, an inmate.
Which is extremely exciting.
Yeah.
So he's been there, he's done it, he's lived it. He, Let There Be Partridge. So what are we saying? The Venom symbiote takes over, finds itself in Norfolk and
yes.
takes over Alan Partridge and makes him do some evil, evil broadcasting. Maybe it makes him go like full GB News right-wing commentator.
Yes.
And Partridge becomes like the face of, you know, InfoWars in the UK.
Because there is a fair bit of comedy in the Venom movies.
Yeah.
Of the whole like interplay between Tom Hardy's character, who I cannot remember, and Tom Hardy's character called Venom.
Yep.
And I think Coogan could definitely do that. The silly voice.
100%. Oh, yeah. He'd be all over it.
And threatening to eat people and stuff. I think this is a goer. Does he become a goodie by the... I feel like if we're getting Partridge in and he's got superpowers, he has to become a goodie by the end, right?
No,
and
he joins the MCU. Partridge isn't a goodie, is he? He is kind of an old school conservative kind of guy. I think ultimately he would like lead some sort of revolution. He'd become the face of like an extreme right wing party in the UK, led by the thoughts of Venom. But
I'm very sad after that one.
But here's the thing. Because all Partridge really wants is to stay relevant and to be famous. And he gets so much airtime becoming an extreme right-wing mouthpiece that he secretly is into it. And he kind of leans into it. And by the end, you don't know who's Venom and who's Partridge. How about that? And the big twist at the end, John, is that you think, this is so awful. You know, Venom's taken over his life and made him such an evil man. You find out at the end, Venom's not even there anymore.
Wow.
How about
Venom
that?
Was disgusted by
How about
Partridge.
That? Venom's found a new guy to hang on to, and Partridge doesn't even realise. That's quite a good twist for a Venom film, isn't it?
I liked it.
For the next one, that's what they should do. It should corrupt someone so much, but they love it, and Venom's not even there anymore.
Right. Should we move on to ours?
Yeah, let's do ours. Here's one from me. This only really works written down. which is great. Good. Don't look UPS. Don't look ups. So it's like speed. There's a delivery driver and he can't look at any sort of map or his van will explode. But he has to do his full delivery round.
Is this in the same universe as Facts and the Curious?
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we did that one earlier on, I did think, oh no, this is kind of like mine. So he has to do a full delivery round, sort of based purely on vibe and following his nose. How about that?
I love it. Do we get UPS in the UK?
Yeah. They're the good. They're one of the good guys. No, this is an open forum. We can safely talk about the good and the bad guys of the delivery world, can't we?
I don't know.
DPD, solid, dependable, reliable, to your door. Love DPD. UPS, a very similar vibe, but it is always quite exciting. It does feel like your parcels come from America, even if it's just like, you know, dishwasher salt. It feels like American dishwasher salt, which I assume is delicious. Royal Mail, good guys. They've always been there. And they just know where your house is. Right, Royal Mail?
Yeah.
Yodel. Horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. Just guesswork. When I occasionally there's a train line, I think, or a road that goes past a great big Yodel warehouse somewhere. And I hate seeing it. Like it makes me so angry. Yodel is guesswork. Like Yodel's like fucking don't look UPS. Like they just go out there and drive and they just leave your package somewhere and hope it gets to you. And then there's another one who I think are even worse. Who are they?
Joel, I don't know, mate.
You said you wanted a beef. You said you wanted a beef.
Ah, yes.
This is my right delivery company.
Well, whilst you try and find that out, UK. Do you remember when in 2001 Royal Mail? Oh, here we go.
Motherfuckers. They are they? Come on. What bad experiences have you had with the delivery companies of the world? Hermes, man. They don't even pretend to know where your house is.
I have this annoying thing in my house.
I'd rather have herpes than and you're so beholden to them because you order something online and they're like, yeah, we're Yodel guys. You can't even select it. The company you buy from will be like, we're Yodel guys. And because where I live, there's sort of three very similar addresses. When I order something and they say, we're Yodel guys, I basically just think, well, there's maybe a 30% chance I'll ever receive this item. So there you go.
Two delivery frustrations. One, my house is number 29, but the neighbours are like number 23. And there is no explanation. There are houses missing on this street. Someone told me it
what
might have been
happened to them.
Bombing. That's our investigative podcast series. And a lot of delivery people will sort of, I'll open the door and they'll be like, what the hell? Why are you number 29 next to them? Like as if I had a choice. Like I made that decision.
You put the numbers on the door.
23, skip a few, 99, 100.
Yeah.
Second thing, our front door opens outward, which is incredibly rare for a front door and quite annoying. And people often just leave a big deliveries in front of our front door.
And you get trapped for weeks at a time.
Just stranded, yeah.
You got a washing machine delivered and we didn't see you for 6 months.
Whenever people talk about the Royal Mail, I always think about the time in 2001 where they tried to rebrand to Consignia. Do you remember this?
Yes! What the hell?
And everyone was just so upset at the idea of it not being called the Royal Mail anymore. It's like to the British public, particularly at that time, it was almost like repainting all the post boxes blue or something.
Yeah.
It's just part of the UK like sort of identity of itself. Anyway, let's move on to my one. Multiverse of Madness. Doctor Strange heads one step beyond with the help of Suggs & Co. into the House of Fun to save, here's brackets, my girl. Why? It must be love. Baggy trousers.
Our house in the middle of our street. I've been driving in my car. I love it. The soundtrack, just full on Scar the whole way through.
Exactly. There's one of the criticisms I often see leveled at the MCU. And
not enough Scar. You've already seen that.
I just meant the soundtrack.
Not
in general,
one sax solo across, not a single sax solo in phase three. Again, one star, no Scar. You're right. There isn't any Scar in the Marvel films, John. And that this is a good time to address that. Doctor Strange, he's in all the gear. He's in, you know, your classic madness get up. they only walk around doing that dance from One Step Beyond. I'm into it.
Thank you. And that's that, Joel.
Good. Do you know what my favourite ones are? When it's just a stupid pun and you immediately imagine the film.
Doesn't make for good content.
No, we'd need to do 100 of those an episode and we'd be exhausted. But God, it's good when there is one. God, it's good. So, of the ones we've done, John, which was your favourite? Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, when you judge the favourite, do you judge it by which one you'd most like to see as a film or which one you had the most fun talking about?
It's a great question. We've never sort of gone behind the curtain like this, Joel. This is the behind the scenes of the Dream Factory on the Dream Factory.
Yeah,
What is my mental... I feel like I'm at one of those post-match interviews as a footballer. What is my process? I think if it was like an absolutely killer pun that mm-hmm. just was... like unadmissible.
And I really hope we do one of those one day. I can't wait.
But I think normally for me it would be the one that brings the best conversation, and I think this week I think we started with it, which is the Facts and the Curious.
You're right. It was downhill from there, really. That was my favourite as well. Much like the first hour of Last Night in Soho. Just turn this off after the first 5 minutes, and you've had a good time. Hey, well done, John. Submit your ideas, and we look forward to using those in about 2 years' time when we reconvene. We'll do a few of these. Submit your ideas. Tell us some nice things. Tell us some horrible things. Just get in touch. Speaking of tell us some horrible things, John, we'll do this in the post chat. I'll tell you about people that have told me horrible things on the internet. So stay tuned after the music. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, listener. There's still more than one of them, I think. I just said, tell us nice things, tell us horrible things on social media. It's all good feedback. In the week, John, I had my first ever tweet go viral.
Oh, yes.
It was a photo of someone at the football. I went to a football match and it was really awful and we were rubbish. And someone in front of me was doing some sort of tax admin on their phone. I thought it was really funny because, you know, imagine a game of football being so terrible that you think, I'm going to apply for tax relief, actually, on my energy bills for the last 12 months. And do you know what? I framed the photo such that the person was completely unidentifiable. And I waited for the moment on their screen where there was zero personal information.
Responsible tweeting, I'd say.
It was responsible, yeah. And tweeted it. It went viral. It got, like, millions of people have seen it, apparently, according to the data. First time anything I've ever tweeted has gone remotely viral. I was called a nonce 3 times and a cunt once. And that is the most perfect distillation of the experience on Twitter, isn't it? Like, the first time anything reaches an audience beyond the very few people that follow me, I'm just called a nonce 3 times by, like, just strangers on the internet who I've got no connection to. Great stuff.
I enjoyed it, and there was I could see there were, like, conspiracy theories brewing around you.
People thought I hadn't been there.
Staged the image.
Yeah, someone accused me of not being at the football and pretending I was so that I could have a viral tweet. Incredible. It gave me, like, I thought it must be horrendous if you've got a big profile. That must happen every time you tweet anything.
Yeah,
you must just get people doing mad shit like that. It is so strange.
Because I remember there was a big phase where people quite enjoyed the sort of, like, didn't happen of the year awards stuff.
Yeah.
Where it was like, generally it seemed to be a parent claiming that their 4-year-old child had said something incredibly profound, but then there was sort of like a backlash to that because it essentially just became like a stick to beat people with anytime anything interesting happened to anyone.
If I'd been didn't happen of the year awarded, I would have deleted my Twitter account and gone into hiding. I think the ultimate shame. But who would pretend to be at a League One football match and someone is like the level of thought that would have to go into that in the hopes that it would then reach a big audience on Twitter. Strange.
Because there's a conspiracy theory where you were at the match and you asked a mate in front of you or whatever to do something really dull and then photograph it. But that's not what people were claiming. They were claiming that you got a stage set up, you got some people in jackets to stand outside.
Yeah, they were just claiming it was taken somewhere else. Like, I just saw someone
on a train.
I saw someone on a train doing their tax, and I thought, well, what's the funniest place they could have been doing this? And then waited till a game was going on, and tweeted it at the right minute.
when they first, like, land, you know, do tourism on the moon or something, I'm going to take that photo you sent and be like, God, this moon is so boring. Someone's doing their tax.
I might start tweeting it all the time. I might start doing it all the time. At the Taj Mahal, not as good as you think. Someone's doing their tax just constantly. That's such a good idea. That is such a good idea. People are raving about the Batman. The person in front of me clearly wasn't enjoying it. And they were doing their tax. How boring is the Batman? I'll just do exactly the same wording. So I think the wording was, how bad is it at Cholton tonight? So I'll just always start with a question. How boring is the Batman? Person in front of me was doing sorting out their VAT. That is such a good idea. I'm going to do that all the time. All the time. In the hope of... Because the one thing that ever went viral, obviously the only answer is, if you ever want to repeat that success, is to repeat exactly the same tweet.
I look forward to the diminishing returns.
Big time, big time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.